Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. We want you to stay tuned because it's time for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. Glad you're joining us today. We know that everyone's life, without exception, is full of busy, busy days. We meet ourselves coming, as we joke sometimes. We stay so busy, but we must take time to gather around the Word of God and get down in the Bible and let the words of truth and light and life get down on the inside of us. Praise God. Are you ready to get down today? Hallelujah. Amen. And if you're not a Christian, we would love you to stay tuned today. We want you to know that no matter what you're running from in your life, what fearful thing makes you want to run away, there is someone to run to. There is a refuge in God. There's a refuge because of Jesus Christ and what He's done at Calvary. So don't disqualify yourself from studying the Word of God with us today, because we believe that God wants to speak to every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet. God has not only a salvation plan, He has a great purpose for your life. And it is not to live in fear and trepidation. He wants you to know the peace that only coming to Jesus can give. And we want to share that great truth with you today as we study, as Christians around the Word of God, about our place of refuge. In fact, we're going to be talking in just a few moments on the subject, the new subject, persecuted but not forsaken. Persecuted but not forsaken. God's commitment to His children is so very powerful and personal, and we have a refuge today like nothing you could possibly imagine unless you experience the forgiveness, the grace, and the new fellowship relationship that you can now enjoy with God the Father through God the Son, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we love you today, and we're interested in your life as a Christian becoming fruitful, and we're so interested in your soul if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Amen. If you have your Bibles, while you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 9, on the subject persecuted but not forsaken, we'd like to invite you to come to our website. Just type in THCOG. The most simple way to come is to type in the letters that stand for the Holy Church of God, where this broadcast originates, right here in Tampa, Florida. And we would just love to have you come. There are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. There's over 1,300 sermons. There are songs to edify and exalt Jesus, amen, and edify you and me. And there are testimonies and different, there's just a whole lot of free, no strings attached materials. And people come to our website from all over the United States of America and all over the world, from different nations and places, some places we've never heard of and can't pronounce. But we are so glad that you are here today, that you are hearing this broadcast wherever you are. In Madison, this is your hometown radio station, and there are other fine ministries in Madison, and we are not in competition with anyone. We're all the way down here in Tampa, but we are in concert with those who declare the gospel of Jesus Christ and teach from the Word of God. And we're coming up on a Resurrection Sunday real soon. If you been out of church, I would encourage you to get out. You're not there for a head count to make the church look successful. As much as we all need the financial support, you're not there as part of some financial drive. You are there because we are in the last of the last days. And the Bible said that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but even much more as we see the day approaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Get out and get edified and edify somebody else. Hallelujah. And lift up the Lord in your life. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 9. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. He said, "But we as Christians have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And I love his honesty here. I want you to know that when we talk about being persecuted and not forsaken, you know, the Bible said, all those, without exception, all those who live godly shall suffer persecution. This is the words of Christ. He said, "The servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you." In some form, persecution is going to come to every child of God. If you're under the illusion that coming to Jesus means that you're never going to be persecuted, the pressures are all gone. No, there is a peace and there is a joy that will offset the pressure and the persecution if we trust the Lord through it. But there is no escaping the pressures and the persecutions of living in a culture that has within it, built within this fallen world, amen, there is the spirit of Antichrist. And if it's Antichrist, friend, it's anti-Christian. There's no doubt about it. We are upstream Christians in a downstream world. But that's okay, because it actually distinguishes us as true followers of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, when we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. So I've told our congregation on many occasions, if I come in and I'm shouting happy that I'm ready to preach at the drop of a hat and ready to drop the hat, and I praise God with everything that's within me, know that I've had a tough week. Amen. Because the reaction, see, we're to act and not just react to the situations around us. Praise God. Now, I love what David said. It's hard to do. You have to crucify the flesh to do it, but it's worth it because God is worthy of our praise when we feel like it and even when we don't. It doesn't change the fact that He's given His Son for us and He's loved us that much, and we owe everything to Him, and we should be grateful and praise Him with everything. You know, the Bible said, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Hallelujah. Praise God. We are persecuted. We have been and we will continue to be. But we are not forsaken. Hallelujah. Listen to this. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." Praise God. Amen. This word, persecuted, in the actual Greek means to pursue in a hostile manner. That means to pursue with the intent to do harm. In the Amplified, it said, "We are pursued, persecuted and hard driven, but not deserted to stand alone." I like that. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Some scholars render persecuted, and one of them is that old commentary, but very accurate and still up to date, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, means to chase as a deer. To chase as a deer. Now, I've never been a hunter. There are people that are fishermen, and there are people that love to hunt, and I like fishing, and I have been hunting, but hunting is just not in my blood. But this analogy of being chased to try to destroy is so accurate concerning our enemy. You know, the Bible said of the devil himself, "And Satan walketh about as a roaring lion. He's looking for a prey. He is hungry. He's famished. And he has the strength to devastate and devour. I'm going to tell you something. The devil doesn't play any games, but neither does God. We are chased as a deer. We are pursued by the enemy. He has hostile intentions, but we are not forsaken. We do not stand alone. Praise God. I wouldn't be preaching today if the devil had his way, but I'm preaching today because God has never forsaken me. He's kept his promise. Amen. You know, the scripture said of Simon Peter, Jesus said these words to him, "Peter, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift you as the wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Friend of mine, this is in the plural. Every word, it would be interpreted, I Satan hath desired to have all of you. Are you all? That he might sift all of you. Are you all? As wheat, but I have prayed for all of you. I want you to know that Jesus has prayed for every believer, every child of God. This wasn't just for Peter. It wasn't just Peter that the devil wanted to destroy. It's every person who has the testimony of Jesus. We're a threat to him. He fights what he fears. And he fears you, and he fears me. And he fears the God that lives within us. And he fears the testimony that we have, because the testimony we have that set us free can set other captives free from Satan's prison house of darkness and fear. Hallelujah. No wonder the enemy comes after us. The Apostle Paul had such a powerful influence for Jesus Christ that he said there was an emissary, which means special agent, someone hand-selected by the devil himself. There was an emissary sent from Satan to buffet me. He was coming to do everything he could to hurt and to hinder me. But you know something? This same Apostle Paul said everything that the enemy did against him, God stood with him. And he said that literally, that the greater one that was living within us, like 1 John declares, rose up every time that Paul was knocked down. Hallelujah. He said literally that when I am weak and I look to the Lord, then am I made strong. Amen. The devil would kill us all if he could. He would tear us to pieces, sift us as the wheat. But Jesus stands up in intercession, and Jesus stands up within every child of the living God. Amen. Oh, it's dangerous to live in this world without God. But when we come to the Lord as our Savior, he stands with us. We still are pursued by the enemy with hostile intentions. Amen. The Bible said that the Satan, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. But we are to resist him steadfast in the faith. Amen. I've often said what the church needs today, what we as Christians need today, who recognizing that the enemy is coming against us everywhere we turn, is to get a look at the backside of Satan. Amen. Hallelujah. To see the backside, to see him running from, not just standing against. The scripture said in the book of James, "Submit thyself unto the Lord and resist the devil." From that posture of total surrender to the Lordship of Christ, there's great authority when there is no grounds in our life for Satan to claim. Give no place to the devil, the Bible declares. Submit thyself unto God and then resist the devil in Jesus' name, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said, he will flee from you. And that word flee in the Greek is to run as in panic. Hallelujah. Because God stands up on the inside of us, and the name of Jesus holds authority if we are under His authority. Oh, friend, if there's ever a message that is necessary to effective spiritual warfare, to overcoming the evil one and living in the safety and security of God's covering, it is surrendering. Surrendering unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ so we can have the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, amen, and the authority to use His name against the enemy of our soul, to plead His blood and use His name, hallelujah. I want to read something from Amazing Animal Stories. Some of these true stories illustrate this very scripture, chased as a deer, but not forsaken. Without the protection of the Lord, every one of us is vulnerable to the enemy. But because of God's armor, God's panoply, God's covering that He's given us, we can stand and live in victory in spite of this one who wants our destruction. I'm going to read this and quote it from Amazing Animal Stories. It said, "The muffled, distant sound had broken the quiet reverie of his walk across the meadow. The sharp barking of a dog almost irritated him. It was abrasive in that tranquil setting. As the barking grew louder, his eyes scanned the meadow, looking for the culprit. Suddenly, a small doe broke through the edge of the woods. Now he understood. Leaning against the fence post, the man watched with compassion as the doe cut across the broad expanse of meadow. She was running straight toward him. He stood motionless, not wanting to add to the fear of man to the animal's frustration and panic. As the frightened deer leaped the fence, she staggered. The chase had taken its toll, her wet coat gleaming in the sun. The doe stopped, took a few steps in one direction, then ears held high, looked back toward the sound of the barking. The dog had broken through the woods, eyes wide with fright, seemingly confused and worn out. The doe surveyed her surroundings until she discovered the man standing beside the fence. She looked back again at the dog in hot pursuit, then at the expanse of open field before her. She turned weakly and walked straight toward the man and buried her head in his jacket. Compassion filled his eyes. She had found a protector. He picked her up, raised her to maturity, and set her free in full strength to live out her days." A friend of mine, Psalm 42, that we're going to in just a moment, was written when David was running for his life, chased as a deer. And here's what he said in the first verse of Psalm 42. "As the hart, the young deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee." This word panteth means desires in a state of exhaustion. David is saying, I need the strength that only God can give. And when that young deer feels thirst and knows that weakness and death will even come if water isn't found, everything is secondary to finding that water. It is a desperation, but it is also a dependence, as the heart pants after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. This is not normal thirst. This is desperate desire. Let me say that again. This is not just normal thirst. This is desperate desire. You know, God said, "You shall find me when you seek after me with all of your heart." It's not because He's hiding. It's not because He's trying to make it hard for us to enter into His presence, have fellowship, relationship with Him. It is because this world's pull is so strong. We are so easily distracted and diverted. But when we get hungry for the living God, when our soul thirsteth after Him, everything else is secondary. We find the time. We make the time for the Bible. We take the time to pray and seek His face. We don't let things keep us from entering into rich fellowship with the Lord, because we need Him more than we need wealth, more than we need homes and lands and cars. And it's not that we don't need these things, but we shouldn't let these things become paramount in our life to the exclusion of our protector and our provider. Oh, how many times I would have been destroyed by fear, frustration, anxiety, discouragement if I couldn't run to the Lord, if I couldn't hide my head from the enemy who wants my hurt and find the peace of God and the goodness of God and the security of God in my life. Amen. Let me say this. You cannot outrun your trouble, but you can run to Jesus Christ. I want to say that again. You can't outrun your trouble, but you can run to Jesus Christ, who promises to never leave you, never forsake you, to never abandon you, to never leave you to stand alone. David was never ashamed to admit his weakness and to cry out to God. Psalm 38 and verse 10 says, "My heart panteth because my strength faileth me." David, like Paul, made the glorious discovery, when I'm weak and run to God, then am I made strong. David, who found refuge in God when pursued by his enemies, discovered the compassion and sufficiency of his protector. And he composed a song of victory in Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. Listen to it. And it begins with this inscription: "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." And he said, amen, amen. I read the inscription which precedes this psalm because it gives us some insight into the background for these verses. As the inscription states, this psalm was originally a song that was written to glorify the Lord and to honor Him for delivering David from King Saul. You see, during the time David was running from Saul, he was in constant danger of death. Now he has been delivered from his enemies, and he lifts his voice in praise to the Lord God who's given him the victory. This is David's song, but you and I have a song of victory to sing as well. Praise God. Amen. When we were saved by the Lord, He gave us the victory over our enemies also. Now, we who were hounded and in danger of dying without Jesus Christ have been saved. Through His grace, since we've been saved and delivered from the snare of the enemy, we also have a reason to sing and highly praise the Lord, to show gratitude for what He's done in our behalf, because we have a protector. You know, the Bible said in the Old Covenant, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, amen, and are safe. That word safe means far above evil intentions and harm. It is a place where we are kept by the power of God. Amen. We're going to get into this Psalm 18, and we're going to talk about being persecuted but not forsaken. Amen. In the coming weeks, as far as God lets us to go with this particular study. But I believe there's someone listening to this broadcast right now, that you're under the gun, you're feeling the pressure of persecution. I don't know exactly how it's coming. It's not just being called a holy, holier than thou, or self-righteous, or some other name at work, or being ostracized. The persecutions we are talking about here have the potential to do actual harm without the Lord as our refuge. I love the way David talked in Psalm 46:1 when he said, "Thou, O Lord, are my refuge and my strength, a very present help in the time of trouble." Praise God. You see, you don't have to run far to run to God, because God is very near you. He said, "I will never leave you." Christ's personal promise to you is, "I will never leave you." You'll find in life that there will be friends that will forsake you, loved ones that will forsake you, acquaintances that will turn their back on you. Ah, but the God who gave His Son to save you, and the Christ who died in your place on the cross, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So you can run to Him, and you won't have to run far. If you're exhausted from what you're running from, use the strength you have left, because you've got a little bit of strength left. Amen. Just run to Him. I love the song that Augustus Toplady, that this Christian man wrote. He was traveling from one village to another by foot, and he was caught in a vicious thunderstorm. And there was no place to find shelter. He saw a rock, and he found a crevice in the rock, and he wedged himself in the crevice in the rock. And while waiting out the storm, with the wind howling, the lightning flashing, the rain blinding, but he was in the crevice of that rock, and he thought about his protector and his provider, and he thought about the storms of life that come to all of us. And he composed the great hymn of the faith, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee." Praise God. Amen. Listen, in this fallen world, in these faulty bodies, it's not going to be all rosy all the time for Christians or non-Christians. Troubles, heartache, heartbreak, persecutions will come. But Jesus came. He said the thief came both to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, "I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you more abundantly." Hallelujah. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it is so important that you run to Him. Quit running from Him. Quit running from Him. Quit running from Him and run to Him. And the wonderful thing about it, when you take one step toward the Lord, it's biblically true. It's not a scripture, but it is scriptural. If you take one step toward the Lord by faith, He will take two steps toward you. He loves you. He gave His Son to save you. He wants you in His kingdom. He wants to cover you with His feathers to keep you from the evil one. Oh, friend of mine, run to Jesus today. Accept Him as your Savior. Repent of your sin and come home to the Father's house. If you're away from God, come back home. Let Him cover you. Give you the peace and joy that only He can give. If you're a Christian today and you're under heavy persecution right now, and you feel like no one knows and no one cares, and you're all alone in the battle, and you're exhausted and even afraid, fear not, little flock. Run to your Shepherd King. Put your head under His jacket and let Him hold you and keep you. He loves you today, and we love you today. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?